Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. Well, why don't we begin this conversation about, you know, do we have that ready for the persecuted church? I want to be able to talk. Okay. I don't see it anywhere. This is a tragic reality here that's going on, that 70 out of 100% of the persecuted church, 100% of religious persecution, I mean, that's taking place in the world, out of 100% of it, 75% is Christian. 75% is Christian. You got to hear this. Listen up.
Persecution takes different forms depending on the country and the culture where Christians live. In North Korea, if the government discovers that you're a Christian, you and your whole family can be put into a labor camp. In Pakistan, Christians are tolerated, but they have to be very careful about what they say. Simply defending your faith can lead to imprisonment and a possible death sentence. In Somalia, a Muslim who converts from Islam to Christianity can be killed. Gary Lane explains.
Worldwide, Christians pay a heavy price for following Christ. North Korea tops the country list each year as the worst persecutor of Christians. If discovered, North Korean believers are arrested, tortured, and killed for their faith. 33-year-old Kim Eun-jin is among the few Christians who have escaped the country to tell about their experience.
We met every Saturday evening. My family gathered in the back room of our small apartment. We had to be very quiet. We whispered when we prayed, sang songs, or read the Bible. We often covered our heads to muffle the noise.
But soon the authorities discovered that her father was a secret believer.
My father was a tailor in town, and the police suspected something was going on. We believed they planted listening devices in his shop and on his clothes.
In 1994, police raided the family's secret house church. They arrested Kim's father and her uncle. Both men probably ended up in one of the six labor camps dotting North Korea. Eric Foley is CEO of Seoul USA, a mission group helping North Korean Christians. He says if believers are released from prison, they face additional hardships.
That becomes the hardest time in their Christian life because they're back in the grind of life. And not only that, but they are tracked, they're traced, their relatives are watched, their phone calls are monitored.
And far from North Korea in the Islamic world, in Pakistan, Christians are denied the right to free speech. They even face imprisonment or possible death if they say something deemed offensive about Muhammad or Islam.
The whole Christian community can pray for Pakistan. And if you want to step forward and do something concrete, you can uplift Christian community here in Pakistan.
Many Christians over the past three decades have been falsely accused and imprisoned on charges of blasphemy. Pakistan's blasphemy law contains three main sections: blasphemy against Islam, the Muslim holy book, the Quran, and blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad. The maximum sentence for those found guilty of blaspheming the Quran is life imprisonment. The maximum penalty for those convicted of violating blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad is death. No Christian has actually been executed for blaspheming Muhammad, but many like Asia Bibi have wasted away for years in prison, waiting for their cases to reach a higher court. That's when they're usually thrown out for a lack of evidence. Asia Bibi is a Christian mother who's been in prison now for nearly 4.5 years. She's confined to a small 8x10 prison cell near the Pakistan city of Faisalabad, awaiting possible death. Asia was arrested in June 2009 after an argument with her Muslim co-workers, who accused her of insulting the Prophet Muhammad. A local judge found Asia guilty and sentenced her to death by hanging. Her case is still on appeal. Those who speak out against the blasphemy laws pay a heavy price. Shahbaz Bhatti was a Christian and an official in the Pakistan government. He called for Asia Bibi's release and the repeal of Pakistan's blasphemy laws.
I believe in Jesus Christ, who has given his own life for us. I know what is the meaning of cross, and I'm following of the cross, and I'm ready to die for a cause.
As he drove to work, radicals shot him to death in his car. A tide of Islamic extremism is spreading across Africa. Somalia is one of the most deadly places for Christians. The Al-Shabaab terror group wants to impose Sharia law on the Somali people. Its goal is to rid the country of all Christians. Muslim converts to Christianity are killed. This Al-Shabaab video swept the internet in September 2008. It shows the brutal beheading of 25-year-old aid worker Mansour Mohammed. He converted to Christianity in 2005. This Muslim convert to Christianity says he was awakened in his home by Al-Shabaab soldiers. We agreed to protect his identity and give him a different name, Abdi.
They ransacked my house, searched my bag, and found several pages from a Bible. They had crosses on them.
Abdi was taken away, imprisoned, and tortured.
I was blindfolded, and they put me in a dark, underground cell. They beat me up with a wooden baton. They wanted to know where I got the Bible pages, and if I knew of any others like me. When they finally took the blindfold off, I noticed three dead bodies in the room. They placed them there just to frighten me.
His torturers said they were going to kill him, but late one night, Abdi and two cellmates made a daring escape. Reunited with his family, Abdi is now living in a safe place. He says he still suffers physical pain from the torture he endured, and spiritually, he feels closer to God.
I was happy to go through all this because now I'm stronger spiritually. People prayed for me to escape. Their prayers are what saved my life.
So how should Christians worldwide pray during the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church?
We shouldn't pray for the persecuted church, but we should pray with the persecuted church. They don't pray to be released from persecution. They pray to be found faithful within it.
Gary Lane, CBN News.
Man, this is so amazing. Wow. That what's taking place. We'll talk more about this after this break, because this is our reality. If we do not turn, 75% of those being persecuted are Christians being beheaded, whispering prayers. We have to wake up, church in America. Out of 100% of the religious persecution that's taking place in the world today, 75% of them are Christians. I mean, you got to see this. If you got to see, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN torch and see it. If you didn't see it on Christian Television Network when we were showing it, he got beheaded. Mm. Joseph got beheaded for being a believer. They cut his head off. People are sneaking around, whispering their prayers, wondering if electronic bugs have been put up into their business. And all of a sudden, your father, in the business runner, is taken away and putting around in a work camp. Mm. Do you really think that this whole Lucifer tactics and this dark Alinsky model being pushed over America right now, as America pushes God, you know, away? Do you really think that that's not our outcome? Do you really believe that JJ, the Jews, and Jesus, the Christians, are not going to be persecuted? Do you really believe the frenzy, Saul, why are you organizing me? Well, if you have not heard that yet, do you really believe that's not what's about to happen? A frenzy break out against the church, yeah, and against the Jews? Do you really believe 75 out of 100%? And it's huge. I mean, here this young lady is. They're working, just doing their day-to-day life, and they come together to be able to worship God, and you have folks today, the 80-something percent, according to George Bond, say the worship is about them. They don't like the beat of the song. They don't like the worship leader, or they got to have a worship leader, or they don't like the sound, or the air conditioner's not right, or the drive's too long, or he spoke too long, or he's not, you know. And it's like they're having to whisper their prayers because if somebody overhears them. Mm. First of all, I want to say,
I'm not even worthy to stand in these guys' presence. That's what he says about the folks when he talks about the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It says the world was not even worthy of these who were cut in two, boiled in oil, hid in caves. Why? Because they're wanting to remain. Listen, the second you get make Jesus the Lord of your life, this is how you know. This is how you said you're wondering, like, am I saved or I'm not saved? Because at that moment, you became polarized. You don't need Alinsky to polarize you.
That's right.
You don't need Lucifer to organize you. You just have been organized into the light and darkness that covers the earth and thick darkness that covers mankind will let you know that you're different now. And people are like, well, I don't have my friends anymore. It's like, because you've been polarized and organized by the supreme organizer, Jesus Christ. And it, you know, there's an article, it's called The Supreme Organizer. And that's Jesus. He is the has supremacy over all. He is the creator over all. And so what happens is when we begin to stand up for God, understand that Lucifer gets nervous. And if you didn't hear Don't Be Deceived, Disciples Make Disciples by Francis Chan last week, and we're going to get a clip from that talking about the Great Awakening. He says, you know, give it 6 months. We want to get that so you can hear that continually. Yeah. Because who was the evangelist during the Great
Awakening? George Whitfield.
George Whitfield will say, okay, we're going to preach the gospel and give it 6 months to settle, and we'll come back and find out who actually. It's important.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, even the vision that God gave me that I shared, you know, last week about children of the day and children of the night. And the truth is, you either are or you're not. It's not that complicated.
Yeah. That's right.
It's not that complicated.
Yeah. Steve Hill would often say that you judge a revival 10 years after the revival.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years after the revival, then you can look back and see what happened.
Yeah, most definitely. And I can definitely say that, you know, we're part of the fruit of that.
No doubt.
We're definitely part of the fruit of that. And the Brownsville revival we're talking about, that God poured himself out at 3100 West DeSoto Street. You know, you have Azusa Street, then you have 3100 West DeSoto Street.
That's right.
And
coast to coast.
Coast to coast, Pensacola, Florida. And so here we are. So I want to encourage you in understanding this, that right now, at this very moment, and if you haven't yet, go to special offers and get this offer. Just make an offer. It doesn't matter. You can have this today. Is America Under God's Judgment? Go to VFNTV.com, click on special offer, and get it and listen to it. Because, you know, it's not too late for the church. It never is. I mean, in regards to God's kingdom is going to go. But it could be too late for America.
Wow.
And because you're looking at, we're teetering between the second and third phase of God turning us over. And it's almost, I feel like, you know, going over, you know, if you're riding down the road and all of a sudden you go over this big, I was walking a plank, you know, off of a ship, and I ran out of plank about 12 months ago.
Yeah, really.
And I'm still walking as if I'm walking on the plank, which means the mercies of God is holding us up.
Yeah.
And but still, that means mercies of God is holding us up. He wants all men everywhere, and so it's a nation is a people. It's not a property, and so when the people get right, the property gets right, the land gets right, and there is a chance that even Nineveh turned. Even by a message of a reluctant evangelist who was speaking to them. And that means we can turn. We can turn. But understand this. And imagine today's church. Imagine today's church being persecuted in America like we're seeing persecuted in the world.
Right.
We need God. We need to turn to the Lord.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it legal to have a Bible study in your house? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have a small church, and we're called the municipality to find out about holding a Bible study in our home. And we were told that we could not do that and that they wanted to redirect us to renting church space in our area.
We've had actually cases on that. I mean, we had a case in Colorado and a couple of other cases where cease and desist orders were actually taken out against people having Bible studies in their home. illegal prayer meeting is what the citation order said. And we went to federal court on that and won. And in a situation like this, let us get involved in helping you right away. I'm going to get you in touch with our lawyers. You really should not have any problem there. But let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ, and we're going to get you some help.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, he and my, has, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
mother,
yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad, and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio Program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. Has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sewing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program right there on a on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Just think about this, taking a moment in time to pray for the persecuted church. Think about that.
Yeah.
Just praying for them and lifting them up, understanding that, you know, whatever we do to the least of these of his, it's not, you know, a lot of people were out there trying to help people that said no to God. While people who said yes to God are being burned at the stake or being beheaded or starving. You know, they just said, no, I don't want anything. But there's a people that would just, you know, need help.
Yeah, no doubt.
In the persecuted church. And he says, so if and the reason why we're talking about the persecuted church, and we want to encourage you, and one way to encourage you is to move outside of thinking so much about your day-to-day life, about you, and begin to bring in others who are in need in your life, and in your thought life, in your prayer life. You know, get past the prayers, you know, me, my, I, myself, you know, stuff, things, and all that. Because I'm saying that because that, okay, we're talking about the church in America. If we're spending one, according to George Barna, these stats are $1.3 million per baptized believer. And we're only 5% of the world's population. So when you talk about religious persecution and 75% of those being Christians, what are we do? How are we helping them with that 1.3 million? I mean, think about it. Maybe you could send, you know, I don't know, 13 of them, 100 grand, or you could send, you know, 26 of them, $50,000. I mean, because some of them are making $20 a month, if that, in the context of it, so they can actually survive in the context. And then we find out that, okay, so in the paradigm of that, we're also looking at, if you take the poorest person in America, and we're comparing the church in America with the church of the world, the universal church, and understanding that most of us not in America, And so, but yet, most of the wealth is in America.
Right.
Because if you take the poorest person in America, now this is the poorest person in America, in the American church, and just America in general, to say that they're even a Christian. The poorest person is richer than 80% of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth, which means the church in America has great wealth. Has great wealth is what that means. And it means this. Okay, so say you're not the poorest person in the world. Let's say you're the middle class. That means you're probably in the top 3% of the world's income. You are like the wealthiest top 3%. You know, think about that. If the poorest person's in the top 80%.
Yeah.
Then you know if you're in the middle class, what they call the middle class, is you're like in the top, probably the top 3%. You're talking about 7 billion folks, which means the predominant church in America who is spending $1.3 million per baptized believer, according to George Barna, is not only not praying for the persecuted church and not being there for them, not even winking at the fact that Pastor Saeed is in prison being beat along with many pastors across the world, that women are being raped and forced into Islam and forced into the Muslim beliefs, and Joseph and others are being beheaded. Their heads are being cut off, removed from their body. Why 97% of the American church, 97% are robbing from God. With the great wealth that we've been given, we're not even giving God his tithes and offerings. So not only are we not praying for those folks, not only are we not helping those folks, we're not even giving to God.
Goodness.
And we were thinking the answer is political. And it's like, this is what Jesus said, and this is why I'm saying this is so important. Because he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me. And whatever you do not do for the persecuted me, the persecuted church, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Think about that. He says, you do not do for me.
That's right.
And they said, when did we see you persecuted?
Yeah.
When did we see you beheaded? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you thirsty?
Yeah.
When did we see you this? And he goes, hey, that was me. That was my body. That was me. And so think about the paradigm. Why do we even deserve to exist? Now, we can repent. The repentance is this. Quit robbing from God. First of all, find out where God wants you to be. Don't just be anywhere. Because in America, according to ABC News, you can see this on the VFN Torch, that there's atheists that are they're calling themselves pastors over thousands of folks. And why they got a black line across their eyes saying, I can't think of another job. You got to find a believer to be under.
I could think about 100 for them. You know?
Yeah, right. But the thing about it is, don't just—it's not a building; it's a people. So you know, when people been with God, and if you know God, when you're with people who know God, your spirit just reaches out for them, and you got to follow the Spirit of God, and that's where you belong. It's not a place of your convenience; it's a place of God's call on your life. Even if you have to drive miles upon miles upon miles. My spiritual father, Brother John Kilpatrick, made a statement recently. And he said, you know what, if I wasn't a pastor, if I wasn't a minister, and I believe he's an apostle, that I would find a man of God, I would find a minister that was hears from God, unapologetically preaches the word of God, and I'd put my family up under that man of God, and I would stay there, and I'd plant myself, even if I had to move to a different, I would give up $25 an hour, $50 an hour in a job, and work for $10 an hour, or $15 an hour, or whatever it was. just so that I can actually have my family up under the Word of God. And right now, there is so much false. You know, we talked about, you know, watch out for the flakes if you haven't seen that yet on the VFN Torch. And we're talking about a prophetic word given by Steve, given to, by the Lord to Steve Hill called Avalanche. And it's all the false teachings. You got to find your place and you got to get there. Even if you got to leave your state, even if you have to leave your county, even if you have to drive distances, even if it's not as pretty as a place that you would like to actually be at, even if they don't have a program for your toe and your finger and your elbow, you know, go where God's called you to be. That's where you belong. And then the Word of God cleanses you, and being preached in the fresh rhema of God inspires you. And you're aware. You're not panicky. You don't have to take all this stuff because you're panicky. You can just relax and know that, hey, God's in control. We hear from God.
Well, it goes back to giving the value of the voice of the Lord. You know, what are you valuing in your life? We were talking about that earlier, about abiding, you know.
That's exactly it. And the persecuted church, understanding that means this. If we keep going the direction that we're going, you know, come outside of your technology for a little bit, walk through the streets and see how much persecution is going on in America. And anti-Semitism and religious persecution in America is on the rise. And if you'll listen to the voices and understand the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart, where is all that venom coming from? Mm-hmm. It is a spirit speaking through folks that we're hearing the Lucifer voice, the Alinsky voice, saying, you know, I want to destroy you. I want to kill you. I want to put you in bondage. You're my problem. You're my innocence. Like that's, you know, all of a sudden they blame the Jews for everything in Germany. How did that happen? It was a whole narrative that came out through the whole Lucifer techniques and tips. And that's what's happening right now in America. Mm-hmm. But understand it's happening because the church has begun to walk in darkness. And so just out of selfishness alone, think about this. Repent. Do you really want to be... do you really want to be in some labor camp?
All right.
Do you really want to be, you know, in whispering when you gather as you're hiding out somewhere to be able, because you can't have the First Amendment no more? Because you can't gather anymore. You can't assemble. You can't petition your government. You can't worship God freely. Is that what you really want? Do you want to creep around and, you know, and then just go, hey, you can't whisper Jesus' name? I don't know where the American religious paradigm fits in all that. But by the way, that's an awesome church that's willing to sneak around and do what they got to do to worship God and fellowship with each other, even in caves. And we actually have video of them meeting in caves on the VFN Torch. And their houses are being pushed over by because of ordinances in China, because a church had met in that house. And they said, this is farmland. You can't use it for a church. So they used the county... an ordinance law to be able to push over that house. Don't think that that's not happening. If you haven't heard yet in regards to the Alinsky tactics, you need to hear it, because there's a reason why. What is the information czar that was on for a while that was part of the selection committee?
Cass Sunstein.
Cass Sunstein created all those ordinances now to be able to use at your whim as an executor of a country.
And there's so many of them now.
There's so many you can't even keep up with them. And so the thing is all we have to do is repent. And I've seen a harvest. The question is it going to come because of the crisis? Or is it going to come in lieu of the crisis?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to come simultaneously with the crisis? But in all of those statements, a crisis is there. And I just want to encourage you that how you can do that now is begin to pray for the persecuted church. Because you say, whatever you didn't do for the least of these of mine. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports. I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled, and I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility. We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us, is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, right, but you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
Don't just go, you know, no, that's already been done. That's a finished work on the cross of Christ. And they said, but now consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great what? Boldness. These guys are praying for boldness. Ain't that something? They didn't pray for protection. They didn't pray for a ticket out. They didn't pray for pray against people. I mean, it's amazing when you hear the church like, that's your brother. You can't pray like that to their father against them. That he ain't gonna like that. You can't pray against the church, you know, like Lecrae says, you gotta love her. She's the church, right? She's got her issues and stuff, but you can't come against the body of Christ. Saul found that out on the way to Damascus, didn't he? He found that going, and he says, why are you hurting me? Why are you coming against me? And so he says, don't consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders through your name, the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And what they're saying is like, God, crank it up a notch! Isn't that awesome? It's like, yes! I love that. It's like, where'd everybody go? They ran. No, this is the time to get in and say, this is it. Crank it up, God. This is the time to fight spiritually. Fight. Preach in the name of Jesus.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And if you have not even prayed for the 75% of the religious persecuted in the church, which are Christians, they're on the news. The Christians, the oldest part of the Christian body in the world, I believe, is in Syria and Iraq. Maybe it's Iraq or Syria, in the area where it's like, they're saying, please pray for us. Mm. They're being forced into servitude. They're being forced into paying religious tariffs to Islam and all these different things. And it's like, are we even thinking about them? They're being told you cannot come to America. We're not giving them asylum where they can fly in and be protected. It's just not pretty.
Wow.
It is not pretty. But understand this. When all this happens, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Understand this. pride is a terrible, terrible blinding thing. And if you have it, you can't see it. And all you got to do is look at the folks who know God and say, do I have pride in my life? Because right now, pride is walking us right into a huge fire. Mm-hmm. It's having us say things that we're going to totally regret when we stand before the altar of God. It's causing more and more dark damage to what God wants to do in his kingdom and in the kingdoms of this world, which bring light into the world. And so I just want to encourage you to pray for them, then find out what you can do for them. Begin to honor God with his tithes and offerings. Don't rob from him anymore. Begin to abide with God. Go to iabide.org. If you don't have a plan, get a simple plan. We have one for you. Request it. It comes to you right away as you request it. And you can begin right away abiding with God and begin to say, you know what, Jesus? I want to do you right. I don't want to stand before you as a goat and say, you know, where did we see you hungry? Where did we see you thirsty? Where did we see you in prison? When God's going to go, you never would even look at the news. You just looked at Hollywood and looked at movies and entertainment. And you looked at sports, but you didn't take the time to see over and over again that I had men and women stand up and say, Pastor Saeed is in prison in Iran being beat for being a believer, and all he was doing was bringing my light into Iran. And not once did you even pray for him once. Not once did you go find his wife and his kids and say, what can I do for you? Not once did you even think about the persecuted me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it. When Jesus stopped Saul in his tracks when he was going to Damascus to persecute the church, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And that's what's happening. When we're seeing Joseph beheaded and we're seeing people oppressed, we're seeing people sneaking around, that's Jesus. That's how Jesus is being treated. We're the wealthiest, the richest, the most narcissistic. It's true.
Yeah.
It's like, dear God, forgive us for the idolatry in our life. Forgive us for self-worship. Forgive us for loving ourselves more than we love you. God, help us to lay down our lives. Grace us, God, to once again return to our first love, you, and begin to spend time with you and know and abiding with you, fruit's going to come out of our life. And in that, you're going to tell us, hey, you know, go help in the Middle East. Go help in Egypt and North Africa. Go help in China. You know, maybe go to China. I don't know. But understand, we got to get up under Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life, and he's going to lead us into all truth. I want to speak about being desperate for the glory of God, as I've been talking about already. And, you know, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. I mean, think about that. Jesus tells us right then, the very first thing that he's telling us on the Sermon on the Mount, the constitution of the church, he says, listen, hunger is what moves me, moves the Father to respond to you. You have to want me and want what I have to offer. You have to want to be with me. And truly, it's amazing to me how, you know, people like to come together and they don't even really want to be together. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have these things called family reunions that people go to that near one of them wants to be together, but something just kind of drives them together, and they act like they're doing each other a favor by showing up, as secretly they actually despise one another and they're judging one another. And it's like, that's something maybe you grew up with. It's called dysfunction, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, and every family's not like that. But understand, the family of God's not like that. That you got to want to be there. You got to want to be there. And to be invited is an honor. And to show up without the salvation garments on, it's not going to be good. But they'll let you show up.
That's right.
And to show up at a family reunion with God is a good thing. You have to want, though. You have to want to show up. You're like, you're getting ready. You're excited. You're going to be abiding that morning. Or you're going to be where you're gathering. Or you're going to listen. Or you see things that you know that your loved one, Jesus, does not like, and you turn your head because you don't want to offend him. You choose things differently. You hang out differently with folks, and you don't tolerate conversations, and you change your media choices. Why? Because you want to be in relationship with him. You hunger and thirst for him. And he says, this is what he said. Of all the things that Jesus could say, he says, those who hunger and thirst. He didn't say, you know, women who hunger and thirst, men who hunger and thirst, children who hunger and thirst, religious people who hunger and thirst, Charles Seymour who hungers and thirst, just, you know, and it's those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you with those? I'm with those.
Yeah.
Are you with those? I'm with those. Are you with those? I'm with those. And by the way, you're of those, which means this applies to you too. If you hunger and thirst, it's sort of like this. Think about this. Have you ever eaten at a buffet? If you've been to America, you have eaten at a buffet.
Mm, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. We call them troughs. Yeah. Hey, if you own one out there, they're cool. You know, it's actually self-control.
That's right.
And a low price. If you don't eat like a cow, then you'll give us a lower price. Anyway, so... And so you eat all this food, you know, all this lettuce, right? They have lettuce on those things.
They have lettuce bars, yeah.
Yeah. I used to remember years ago, I said, yeah, I'm on a diet. I eat a salad bar. And I finally went to a salad bar soup. I was like, my goodness, that has more food than the entire city that I come from. Anyway, but just imagine you eat until your heart's content and beyond your stomach's ability to hold that food. Just imagine that. You're just so full. And then somebody comes up with your most favorite dessert. I mean, it's your favorite. I mean, it used to just, as a kid, you liked it maybe, whatever. I mean, taste buds change. Like yours would have hot sauce on it if it was a dessert, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ice cream and hot sauce. Butter pecan and hot sauce. But, you know, and it's something that just would always make you want to get it. But you're so full from the buffet. You're so full from eating all the other food that when this food that you... that tops your food chart shows up with all the things that gives you these great feelings or whatever, and you just joy brings back childhood, whatever. I don't know what your taste buds do for you, but anyway, that you're not hungry for it. It's not that particular food doesn't have the same quality it always has. It doesn't mean that if you weren't full, you wouldn't have that desire for it. It's just the fact you can't hold nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't have a drawing on you. It doesn't. You're not saying, I want some of that. And the church is so full of the buffet of the world. So much dark media and so many dark relationships and so much prognosticated dark-sided news with no light. That it's like, yeah, I know that sounds good. I remember once I've tasted of the Lord and he was good. I remember that I've seen other people that have tasted this and they said that he's good. And just right now, you know, right now. And it's like, you know why you feel that way? If you profess to be a believer, it's because you're full of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You filled yourself up with sin.
Right.
You've went into the ways of Egypt. And you're under bondage. But you know what? If you start fasting and praying, if you start saying no to dark choices in media, saying no to those who choose to take advantage of your relationship around you to bring darkness in your presence, saying no to those who want to be able to fill you up with that which separates you from intimacy with God, then you'll just get hungry. They'll just get hungry. They'll get hungry for God.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If I were the devil... If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington, And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. A proverb says that... I believe it says, even to a hungry man, a full man loves honey, but even to a hungry man, even the bitter things
taste sweet.
Mm-hmm. And even the parts of God's truths that you avoided, you'll be saying, you know what, God, whatever you want for me, Lord, whatever you have for me, Jesus. And you know, and then once you just have a little bit of taste and you're hungry for him, then you say, you know, I want more. Mm-hmm. And then that exponentially grows, and all of a sudden now you're like, hey, that was good. And so you say no to more of the other on the buffet in this world. And believe me, I've never seen, just like in the natural sense in America, the foods are being just stacked on buffets. I mean, just piled out there. Darkness is being piled out there. That's just, mm-hmm. that's actually a sign of our, you know, wanting just, and one of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah was, you know, gluttony and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a sign of just saying, you know, we're just flesh oriented and we're not spirit oriented. The flesh counts for nothing, but the words I speak to you are spirit. And, you start getting hungry, and literally that little bit of hunger you have begins to grow exponentially, which empowers you by God's grace to begin to say no to, and next thing you know, you're walking out of captivity the way that Israel walked out of Egypt. You're walking out of those areas. And when you're hungry, God just begins to move on your behalf. You weren't waiting on God. God was waiting on you. But it's not until you become desperate enough to change will you see change or see transformation. I mean, today, one of the things that has happened is that time has sped up. And the information that I believe that we have, I think the studies show, and it's bigger than this because this is an old study, mm-hmm. but the information that passes our eyes and ears in one day that our great-great-grandfathers didn't have in a lifetime.
Yeah, I've heard that.
The difficult thing is we got the same brain he has.
Yeah.
We have the same 24 hours that he has. And so we can't take all that in and think we're going to have room, you know, for the things of God. We got to be careful. We got to manage, you know, what we're going to take in. And sometimes even good things get in the way of God. Mm-hmm. And so it's not until we want, think, and feel desperate to where really to make that transformation and go after him with all of our everything we think, everything we want, everything we feel, wanting more of the Lord, that causes us to see his presence manifested, his glory manifested. And it makes me think about Charles Seymour on Azusa Street. This is a man, an African-American man who in the midst of, this is like 1905, something wow. of the nature, and much oppression, even the very ones that raised him up in the Lord rejected him, but he didn't stop. And then he wanted to see a move of God inside of a church gathering, and they just locked him out. They thought they would lose their salvation if they you know, share with him what they had to say. So they just kind of put a lock on the door.
Wow.
But William Seymour, and he rented a room in a house, and he began just to pray and fast. One man desperate for God. And eventually God responded eventually to one man's hunger for God. He became desperate for more of God. I think about, you know, the Brownsville revival in Pensacola, Florida, that you had, you know, I witnessed Brother John Kilpatrick's, a spiritual father to me. Mm-hmm. I witnessed his hunger, his desperation for God, and his repugnance to anything else. It was just everything was just kind of became repulsive to him. Mm-hmm. You know, religion, you know, one more counseling session to a staff that wouldn't listen, you know, mm-hmm. to, you know, he called us all together at one particular point, and there's, you know, quite a few of us. And he said, you know, he's basically put it down. You know, either you're going to walk right before God or you're off staff. Mm-hmm. And that's a real tough thing to do. And he's just, you know, he did that and he walked out of the room because this is a tough thing to do.
Right.
And then he was willing to even go to Canada, where the airport, you know, the Bob Arnock, God was moving in Canada, and Sister Brenda's wife had already been there already, and she was being touched by the power of God, and uh-huh. he was just like jealous because she's sitting here, they're sitting at a restaurant in Pensacola, and she's got the power of God all over her, and of course she's all encouraged and stuff, and he's just getting really, you know, jealous. And finally, he's like, I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to go there because he was desperate. Mm-hmm. He was desperate. And it's not until you're desperate, you know, and much prayer, much brokenness, you know, he had just lost his mother, who he was loyal to the last second, to his mother and single parent, and just was broken mm-hmm. and desperate. And on his way to Canada, all of a sudden, he started experiencing what he thought was a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
But it wasn't. He went to the doctor in Tennessee or something, and on the way, whatever state it was, and he turned around and came back. He didn't go to Canada. And it's like God responded to that because he still was going through all these things and, you know, and rightfully so. I mean, he poured his life out and you know, to an unresponsive people for so long. I mean, but I think it's part of the process. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Somebody once told me, they said, listen, I don't want to be here, you know, where I was ministering, because if I'm here, that means I got to do something. I just want to go somewhere where I want to sit.
Right.
yeah, that just doesn't work for me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I want to be a different. Remember, we're going to be talking about Francis Chan in a minute is going to talk about that. But in that, that he was desperate for God. Mm-hmm. And there was another man. There was another man who was desperate for God. And he was willing to do anything for more of God. And he went all the way to England. And his name was Steve Hill. And he went over to an Anglican minister in England, and where God was pouring himself out. He began to talk to him, and the guy just touched him, and he fell on the power of God. And then so he began to combat what God has given him. And so you had two desperate men, desperate for God,
mm-hmm.
for more of the Lord. Think about it, two. I mean, William Seymour was one. Now you have two men desperate for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there that morning in the little small office as Steve was coming in, and he was going to minister that night. But Brother Kilpatrick just letting him minister that morning because he was just so disheartened. He was just, it was just, it was, he's been through a lot yeah. at that point. And what's so cool is that you can be responsive like that, but God knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You scrub a pup in Mary Esther right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after-bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today.
Oh my goodness, aunties! Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you gotta go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more. In Cantonment, you don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way.
Visit Miss Sue's Vintage Market for your special one-of-a-kind gifts and for all your antique decor. Vintage, rustic, distressed furniture, collectibles. On the corner of Ensley and North Palafox, where you can buy, sell, and consign, visit Sue today. If you're looking for a car, I want to encourage you to visit Pensacola Auto Depot. No gimmicks, no hassles, no problem. How do we know? Because Greg, Pat, and John have all bought cars from Pensacola Auto Depot. Visit them online, in person, or call today. In Pensacola, Fantasy Pools and Spa, your premier destination for pool installations, liner changes, service, and all of your pool and spa chemical needs on the corner of Blue Angel Parkway and Dog Track Road. Give them a call today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh? Spread
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFNTV.